Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. Hopefully you have discovered or seen that we were having a in-person service today as well. So we hope you'll see that and we'll actually see you in the service. Also, if you find this talk to be in this lesson today to be inspiring, we ask that you consider donating to Unity Center of Light. If you're new to Unity and you don't know how to donate, you can just, and you're watching this on YouTube, you can click on the Show More button below, and you'll see all the ways you can donate, and we appreciate all your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Oh, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, March the 5th. The key word is dominion, and the affirmation is, I claim dominion and direct the course of my life. While I may not be able to control what happens in my life, I am always free to determine how I will respond. Through my divine faculty of dominion, I decide what to think, what to say, and how to act. If a thought of fear or powerlessness arises, I remember all the wisdom, understanding, and strength of God are within me. Whether I'm organizing my day or moving forward after making a life-altering decision, the principle of dominion is always mine to claim. Knowing this, I move through life with quiet confidence. I am secure in myself and in the knowledge I am a divine being. I claim dominion and feel my life expand into a field of limitless possibility and potential. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 8:6, and it reads, You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. And again, that perfect for the talk today. So, you know, we are, I think, our third week of Lent. And, you know, the booklet we're working from...
Third week of Lent.
And the booklet we're working from is 40 Days of Letting Go. And many of you probably have the booklet already. If you do not, and you'd like to get at least a virtual copy, you can write to the office or call the office and they'll, you know, make sure you can get one. So this idea of freedom through non-resistance. We're going to really dig into this today, you know, because freedom, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, yes, there is the dictionary definition that explains it means not being imprisoned or enslaved. But that typically doesn't apply to most of us. However, the definition for freedom that we may better relate to are the state of not being subject to or affected by, okay, whatever that might be. You fill in the blanks for that. Or freedom could be being in a state of mind where you are independent of or unaffected by events and circumstances that are beyond your control. So freedom would be these things are happening, but they're not bogging you down. Somewhat similar to what the daily word reading was today. And again, you know, as I say these things, you fill in the blank as to how that affects you. So freedom can really mean very different things for each one of us. And this would be a great discussion question for the Zoom fellowship. What does freedom mean to you? Okay, so think about that. And if you really think about it, a lot of what we want to be free from is typically materialistic. It's from the materialistic things that happen in our lives. Meaning if we had, for example, more money, we might feel more free. Or if we could be, you know, released and let go of, for example, a job that we do not like, we could feel more free. But again, you have to substitute in these examples what it is that you want or don't want in your life that would make you feel a sense of freedom. Now, the other side of the coin that may be blocking our feeling of being free is resistance, as in resistance to change or not wanting to accept or comply with something. You know, there are many different situations and circumstances that come up in our lives that we resist. And as I, you know, usually acknowledge, this may be perfectly normal response from us, you know, in our present state of mind, okay? And we all do this. But, you know, as Dr. Carl Jung says, and you know these words, what you resist persists. So the idea of being that the more you resist some conditioned thing or relationship or circumstance in your life, the greater the chance it will come back into your life over and over again. And Eckhart Tolle explains, whatever you fight, you strengthen. Okay? Now, from another source, I've got this. It says, the reason you attract whatever you resist is because you are powerfully focused on it with strong feelings and emotions. And what you focus on with any emotion, you bring to you. Okay? So we all know this. This is what we call, as we all know, the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. But it seems, that when we are in the midst of life, these pearls of wisdom like that, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, they are either not in the forefront of our mind, or they are we just can't seem to reconcile them with whatever we're being challenged by. You know, so you might remember thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, but something's going on and you might say, I can't relate that to this. Okay. Now, in an article by, her name is Dr. Sophia, and she's known as the happiness doctor. And she explains that we are all, in some way, shape, or form, trying throughout our daily lives to escape a reality that we don't prefer to deal with. And I think we all can relate to that. And she explains that the two dominant ways we do so is we're either busy judging our unwanted experience as bad or unpleasant in an attempt to try to escape it, or we are arguing with the unwanted experience, asking why does this have to happen this way? And we're really going to get more into that. And often, what we're arguing with is a fact of life that can't be changed. That's the important part. So Dr. Sophia explains further. She says, trying to change a fact of life in reality just isn't going to happen, no matter how much you yell and argue or wish it wasn't so. Nothing happens except that maybe your head and your heart start hurting and you grow increasingly exhausted and frustrated. Okay, so this idea of dealing with facts of life, fact of life being something like something happens in your life and you have to accept it as true and unchangeable. Okay, so fact of life is that something happens in your life and you have to accept it as true or unchangeable, even if it seems unpleasant or unwanted. For example, you know, the one we all have used, a lot of us in our age group, growing old is not being able to do what you used to do. Okay, that's a fact of life. You know, the saying goes, growing old isn't for sissies, right? But that's just one common example. Again, you fill in a blank with your own experience, a fact of life that you know, it's not going to change. But regardless of the fact that things happen in our lives we have no control over, panache Desai explains how to move towards mental emotional freedom in spite of those facts of life we can't change. This is what he says. To be authentically human is to hold within your conscious experience joy, abundance, peace, love, fulfillment, and to live in the flow and the momentum of the world around you. He says this is your birthright. Okay, so what he's saying is that regardless of that fact that something's a fact of life, you can hold a whole different thought in your mind, okay? See, resistance will not allow you to consciously experience joy, abundance, peace, love, and fulfillment in the face of those things you cannot change, okay? But the practice of non-resistance does allow you to do that. So this idea of accepting what life has served you is not about complacency. It's about not continuously fueling your discontent with strong feelings and emotions, okay? And I found several quotes in, you know, different places. It says, what you resist persists, okay? But what you accept will transform you. So let me just give you that again. What you resist persists, but what you accept will transform you. And transformation is what we're striving for. So acceptance is non-resistance. And as difficult as that may be to hear, non-resistance opens the door to more of the good things you're asking the universe for. In other words, we want to focus our strong feelings and emotions on what we want, what we are praying for, not on what we do not want. And yes, sometimes when we're caught up in the emotional turmoil, of life circumstances, we can't even think what to pray for because we just can't imagine how what we are experiencing can be made better, if that makes sense. Have you ever been in a place when you just don't know what to pray for to get, to change some circumstance you're in? But listen to this explanation from Paul. It was recorded in Romans 8, 26 through 28, and it's paraphrased from the Message Bible. He said, if we don't know how or what to pray for, this is really, really important. If we don't know how or what to pray for, it doesn't matter because God does. God does our praying in and for us, making a prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. You know what I'm talking about. We don't know what to do, so we're sighing and we're groaning, But God knows how to pull a prayer out of that. God knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, but still keeps us present before God. That is why we can be sure that every detail in our lives is being worked into something good as long as we maintain our love for God. Okay. Now, that's a powerful verse. And that phrase, pregnant condition, you might already have figured out what that means, is referring to the fact that our minds are often filled with our own perceptions and judgments about what is occurring in our lives. But as the scripture is explaining, God knows all of that and even knows us better than we know ourselves. So much so that God is continuously reformulating our wordless sighs and our aching groans into a prayer that makes sense to the universe, which is a creative divine quantum substance that is formulating and bringing into our lives what we really want. Now just think about that. Have you ever had times in your life when you really didn't know what to ask for in prayer other than, I just don't want this, whatever this might be? And this is why the Holy Spirit keeps us present with God. Let me say this again. This is why the Holy Spirit keeps us present with God. God, the good omnipotent, the divine substance from which everything is made. And notice, listen to that whole sentence, because I don't want us to get caught up in the fact that God is some anthropomorphic being that's doing this thing. It says the Holy Spirit keeps us present with God. God, the good omnipotent, the divine substance. God is the divine substance from which everything is made. And think of the Holy Spirit as the infinite breath of God within you, the life essence of your being. Think of the Holy Spirit as a universal coordinator that matches your prayers with the infinite resources, the divine substance of the universe, bringing into manifestation in your life, which you may not have even been able to imagine or pray for. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And how is this possible? Because as the scripture explained, God knows us better than we know ourselves, because God is the life essence of our being. So as we read in John 20:22, then God breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So yes, we have the Holy Spirit within us, the infinite breath of God. Now, Panache Desai, in his book, Discovering Your Soul's Signature, A 33-Day Path to Purpose, this is what he shares. And when I say Panache Desai, you can see all this information at the bottom of the slide for you note takers. He says, you is the blessing. You being you is the miracle. You being you is enough. You being you is your soul signature. Okay? So now, your soul signature being what you have been using to sign the stories of your life that you have written in your conscious and subconscious mind. So we need to ask ourselves, what are the stories about my life that I have been signing with my soul signature? Okay, so that is how this is how the revealing word explains the nature of our soul and how it becomes our signature. Okay, it says our soul is our consciousness. Okay, the underlying idea behind the way we express in life and to each other. And it's important. Our soul is our consciousness, the underlying idea behind the way we express in life and to each other. So we are spirit, soul, mind, and body. Our soul makes our body. So in essence, our bodies are outer expressions of the soul signature with which we have been signing the stories of our lives, especially the stories or monologues we hold in our conscious mind about ourselves. Okay. Now, similar to the explanation from the revealing word, Panache Desai, this is how he explains it. He says, our inner monologues of resistance have tremendous power over us. They can affect not only our mood. Now, and let me just go back. Our monologues are the discussions we have with ourselves. Definitely a monologue is, like it says, it's a one-way discussion that we're having with ourselves. So our inner monologues of resistance have tremendous power over us. They can affect not only our mood, not only our physical bodies, but also our every waking moment, and therefore every consequence we experience. But, he says, we become lighter as we deal with everything that's going on inside of us. The more time we spend changing our inner stories, the more we are able to bring into our lives abundance, health, love, and soulfulness. Okay, and I'm going to actually read a story in a minute, in a little while, that will bring that all, give a good example of that. So monologues, in this particular context, again, is referring to the scenes in our minds, conscious minds, where we keep going over and over the stories of resistance we hold on to, okay? So if we go back to Dr. Sophia, the happiness doctor, she explains that resistance shows up when we are busy trying throughout our daily lives to escape a reality that we don't prefer to have to deal with. So this all boils down to the reality that freedom, true freedom, is a mental process. It's not about engaging in judgment and arguments about events and circumstances you cannot change. Rather, it is about the practice of non-resistance, which happens in consciousness. Okay. Now, it's written in this year, 2023, Lenten booklet, 40 Days of Let Go, today, Sunday, March 5th. This is where I got this from. It says, non-resistance is a process that occurs in our consciousness as we recognize, accept, and affirm that in God there is nothing to fear. The only presence and the only power that exists in the universe is absolute good, and it is always with us. Holding this awareness in mind will make everything work together for our good. Okay. So The main focus of non-resistance is to recognize, accept, and affirm that in God there is nothing to fear. Right? Now, this is the real work from which we can gain the greatest benefit. But it requires the experience of God working in our lives to know with absolute certainty that that is true for us. And let me say that again, okay? So this is a work that we have to do, you know, knowing that God is working in our lives. But to really get the greatest benefit out of that, you know, to move it from intellect into our spirit, it requires the experience of God working in our lives, you know, to know that that's true. So just that we have times when we're being trapped in our thoughts about challenging situations in our lives, we also want to give time to recognizing and acknowledging those times when we could see and experience God working in our lives. And you know what I mean. You know, just look back and say, I know that this was God working in my life. See, this activity of realizing that God is working in your life builds our muscle of faith in the power and presence of God working in our lives. So even as we may be struggling, you know, flip-flopping back and forth between mulling over what we do not want in our lives and at the same time trying to maintain the thought that God is working in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you got these two things going on in your head. One is, you know, the stuff that's happening in your life, and the other is you're trying to maintain this thought that God is working in your life. So this divine activity within us understands what we're going through when we do that. And he, so to speak, God, so to speak, gives us credit for our efforts to at least try to hold on to a divine thought while we're struggling with this other stuff, okay? So we're getting credit for that. So our real work is to do the work to develop a true connection to the divine activity at work within us, okay? You know, even as that stuff is going on in your head and you're feeling all the feelings, emotion about it, but you're holding, you're using an affirmation or a Bible verse or something, and you're trying to hold on and maintain your connection to divine activity, we get credit for that, right, so to speak. And this is what Paul, like how Paul explained in Philippians 2:13. He says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing the work you've been doing. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Be reverent and sensitive before God. That energy you are accessing is God's energy, an energy deep within you that is willingly at work for your highest good. Okay? So while we're doing our work, even if we are not quite on point with it, God is doing God's work, you know, looking at the activity within us and pulling all the good out of that into our prayer. So this lesson has a lot of theory that you may not be able to take to heart or figure out how to apply it. So I'm going to read a story to you that can give this lesson on freedom through non-resistance some practical application. And the story comes from an article written by Daniel Hanna titled, How the Law of Non-Resistance Enables the Mental Health. Okay. Now, it says, when I was backpacking in South America, this was my first big trip traveling alone. There was plenty of highs and great experiences I'll always treasure, but also got in some difficult situations. After being robbed twice in 2 weeks, I lost the new phone I just bought. My wallet, ID, and all my bank cards had no way to access money or pay for the hostel I was staying in. I was in a new city with no friends, and naturally, I started panicking. I started going through the motions of fear and frustration. Now, we can feel this, right, what he's going through, of fear and frustration, and felt hatred for the people who robbed me, which I blamed for my situation. But the worry was merciless. I didn't know how to stop stressing over my situation. So I went inward and really gave myself an audience with my thoughts and feelings, realizing that resisting the situation would only make things worse. And after digging into my pain and feeling all these painful emotions rush to the surface, I took some time to myself. I breathed, and here it is, accepted the situation for what it was. I wasn't going to catch the people who robbed me. there would be no justice. And that's what we're always looking for. Oh, I want justice for whatever is going on. He said he realized there would be no justice. I had to face my feelings head on if I wanted to get into a better headspace. And after letting go of the urge to deny my situation, I started thinking more clearly that my problems were insignificant in the grand scheme of things. This brought clarity to me. And in this moment, accepting my situation took a huge, now this is key, accepting my situation took a huge burden off my shoulders. Accepting my situation took a huge burden off my shoulders. And I started to see how effective the law of non-resistance really is. And after letting go, I started taking productive steps to fix the situation without being clouded by emotion. So over the next several years, I continued traveling, knowing that this understanding would help me cope with anything that life threw at me. Okay? And again, as I said, you know, many of us, we have gone through many situations that we want, you know, we want justice or we want whatever, you know, to help us to get clarity from this process that we're going through. But, you know, it just doesn't always happen that way, okay? As he said, I had to accept what happened. And that's the part that's, you know, really tough for many of us, is accepting what we're going through. In the acceptance, it brings about clarity, okay? So, you know, from this story, we learn how non-resistance is about accepting the things we cannot change. Accepting the things we cannot change. And to give more clarity to that statement, I'm going to end with familiar words from Reinhold Niebuhr, Lutheran theologian. And many people think that this was written purely for a 12-step, but this is a poem that he wrote that works for all of us. And you might even say it with me because many of us know this poem. It said, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, taking this world as it is and not as I would have it be, trusting that you, God, will make all things right if I surrender to your will. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity family, we are all looking forward to the spring when we see the flowers blooming already and the world kind of wakes up with the beauty of the flowers and the trees blossoming. So I'm going to start the meditation today with a poem that was written by Pope Francis. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing into our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey towards your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. And so now I ask you to take in a really good deep breath and blow it out. Take another deep breath in and out. You may close your eyes if you wish. Just focus on relaxing your body and following your breath. Please let the following words that I speak be the words of your own heart. Dear Creator God, let me always be in awe of your wonderful works of creation. I don't want to take the details of the world you created for granted. Everything around me is wonderfully complex and splendid. You, Lord, are both the engineer and the artist that built a world to perfectly sustain life. But you didn't stop there. You made immense details that please all of our senses as well. There are beautiful things to see, sounds to hear, textures to feel, and delicious food to taste, and even delightful aromas to bring us enjoyment. Thank you for the details of life. Let's be in the silence for just a few moments. Holy Spirit, give us the eyes to see wisdom in the moment. Give us the courage to change our ways forever, to live responsibly, to advocate boldly, to honor and protect what you have created. And God, with your help, we will change our ways. And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus as our elder brother and wayshower and guide, we say amen. And so it is and forever shall be. Slowly come back to this time and back into your day.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you. Great, sir. Great message.
Yeah, that was a great meditation. So, this is the time we open our hearts and minds to give thanks to the universe for the abundance that flows into our lives, abundance that can come in many different ways. And again, this is a personal prayer. It's a prayer for you. It's a prosperity prayer for you to use and give thanks for all the wonderful things in your life. And let's say that together.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen. And now we move to our offering blessing, is where we give. We're open and receptive to supporting and sharing our spiritual home with our offerings. And so we hold our offering in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now we have
Light Notes. So each Wednesday through April the 5th from 7 to 8 p.m., we invite you to join us in our Lent discussion series. The booklet is called 40 Days of Letting Go, and this booklet offers inspirational and specific suggestions for releasing whatever keeps you from realizing your true spiritual nature. You may still join the discussion. And on Sunday, March the 12th, we will welcome Janelle Renshaw, licensed Unity teacher, and the Unity Eastern Region Youth Consultant as our speaker. Her topic is, Can You Hear Me Now? Also, the Booklight Book Club will meet to discuss the book, The Universe is Calling by Eric Butterworth. Please join on Zoom from 1 to 3 p.m. and just check your updates and your newsletter for the links. The Women of Unity are coming together to celebrate Women's Month on Saturday, March 18th at 2:30 p.m. We will be meeting at the church office. This is an open group for all, so all women may join us. We are limiting our attendance to 10 that day because we'll be in the office. So it's the first 10 people that respond will be the ones that will be able to come. So please bring a healthy and delicious dish to share and let me know what it will be. My email is pamosby@msn.com. If you don't get emails from me, please let me know so I can rectify that. March 12th is the last day to let me know if you will be attending. On March 26th at 1 p.m. is our annual membership meeting. We'll be electing new board members, having discussion about the church's finances, and much more. This is a very important meeting, so we really want you to plan on attending. Thank you. That's the end of our announcements for today.
All right. So?
Do I know what time it is? Yeah, it's time to bless the path that we all will walk this week. I'm going to say our affirmation with passion,
zeal and gusto.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And let's go right to our prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Next week.
Right.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe.
No. But we'll definitely see you in the Zoom session.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.